In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What kind of God do you want? Although the question may not be fashioned in exactly this way, it is the question that some could be asking when they try to pit the God of the Old Testament against the God of the New Testament. What kind of God do you want? Just take a look at the God who is portrayed here. In the preceding chapter of Numbers, it was God himself who told Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan." Moses did as God commanded, choosing 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. The men went, and at the end of 40 days brought back their report. The majority report was to forget the whole idea because the people of Israel would not be able to defeat the Canaanites. Caleb and Joshua presented the minority report. "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." The whole congregation of Israel accepted the majority report, deciding to go back to Egypt. Moses and Aaron, as well as Joshua and Caleb, tried to get the people to change their mind. But the children of Israel were determined to go their own way back to Egypt, choosing a new leader for themselves. The people of Israel were ready to stone the four men. It is at this point that our reading picks up. There we hear God's words. "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them." What kind of God do you want? Those who contend that the God of the New Testament is more loving and kind-hearted will contrast the God we see here in the book of Numbers with the God they think they see in the New Testament. What kind of God do you want? The problem is, this is the wrong question. God says about himself in Malachi, "I, the Lord, do not change," using here his personal name, Yahweh. If the God that some people claim to see in the New Testament is different from the God who is presented here, he cannot be the true God, since the true God does not change. Oh, you can certainly pick the God you like, any God. But if that God is not the God we have described here, your choice immediately breaks the first commandment, since God told the Israelites, "You shall have no other gods." God here was not simply being petulant. The people of Israel were actually guilty of breaking the first commandment. When God told Moses to send spies to Canaan, God told him that Canaan was the land which I am giving to the people of Israel. The people didn't need to worry about whether the Canaanites were more powerful or more numerous than they were. God was giving them the land. Not to trust God was breaking the first commandment. And in God's statement to Moses, God noted that he had already done many things for them. "And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" God was justified in his anger. The God we see here is the same God we have. There is no other. So if "what kind of God do you want" is the wrong question, what is the right question? The right question is, what kind of mediator do you have? The people of Israel had a mediator who was willing to plead their case. They had a mediator who was willing to stand up to God on their behalf. Moses responded to God, "Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them that he killed them in the wilderness.'" Moses not only told God that his destruction of the people would be misunderstood, Moses also called God to account based upon God's own revelation of himself. "And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.'" Moses acknowledged that God would by no means clear the guilty. The people stood guilty as charged. Moses knew that. He had witnessed their rebellion against God. Yet Moses pleaded their case. "Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love." Moses threw himself and the people on the mercy of the court. "You have already forgiven this people many times already in the past. Forgive them also now, again, this time." Moses knew that God could have mercy on these people because of the promised coming Messiah who would forgive iniquity. Moses had to come again and again as a mediator between the sinful people of Israel and God. At one point in his role as mediator, he even offered to die in place of the people. As Moses and the children of Israel were reeling from their sin with the golden calf, Moses pleaded to God, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." Moses was a mediator, pleading the case of the people before God, and God listened to Moses. "I have pardoned according to your word." The people who had sinned needed to bear the temporal punishment of their sin, exclusion from the land of Canaan, but their sin was pardoned. Moses had appealed to the steadfast love of God, and because of that steadfast love, God pardoned the people once again. Since God is who he is, a God who will by no means clear the guilty, we need a mediator like Moses to plead our case. Holiness is not a case of degree. One is either holy or one is not. You are either sinless or you are not. The actions of the children of Israel showed that they were in the are not category. The Bible testifies throughout that all people are in the are not holy category. You are in the are not category. You need a mediator who can speak for you on behalf of you as Moses did. And we have such a mediator. We have a mediator who lived among us like Moses, experiencing us as we are, poor, sinful human beings, yet a mediator who nevertheless presents himself to God pleading, "Please pardon the iniquity of this people." We have a mediator who was tempted like Moses, but unlike Moses, did not sin. Yet this mediator nevertheless presents himself to God pleading, "Please pardon the iniquity of this people." We have a mediator like Moses, who offered his own life as a substitute for us. But unlike Moses, this mediator of ours died on a cross, offering his death in exchange for our lives. And God has pardoned the iniquity of his people because of the innocent suffering and death of that mediator. What kind of mediator do you have? You have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your mediator. In the name of Jesus, amen.